Chapter 10. Can Oz Save the World? While I was talking to President Hardinson, Chloe was with Eli in our government apartment in New York. Later, she told me that she did not move after I left. She sat watching the door with frightened eyes and listened to the shooting of guns in the streets below. Then, she suddenly heard a sound in the hall outside. There was something behind the door, and it was not human. Chloe stood up quickly and lifted Eli from the floor.
"What's wrong, Mommy?"
he said. She went to the corner of the room and turned off the light. Suddenly, there was another noise. It came from her right. She turned quietly and looked toward the windows. Outside the windows were three monkeys. They were climbing the side of the building. Suddenly, they hit the windows hard, and the glass broke. The monkeys jumped over the broken glass. Then, the big male stepped forward into the apartment. It was Attila, but he was thin and hungry now, and his eyes were crazy. The three monkeys could smell Chloe. They were hungry, and they all wanted to eat her, but Attila wanted her the most. He moved toward her, but suddenly, Chloe saw his head turn toward the bedroom. Was a different smell coming from the apartment? A smell he knew. Chloe watched him.
"Is he remembering Oz?" she thought.
Attila stopped. Then he took one monkey and then the other and pushed them back through the broken window.
"Yeah!"
he screamed.
"Yeah! Yeah!"
Later that day, the other scientists and I watched the president on the TV screens. We were in the lobby now with coffee. After she finished speaking, the people in the lobby looked worried.
"So we can't drive or turn on the lights," said one man. "Is that the great plan?"
I drank the coffee and looked into the bottom of my cup. These were just ideas. Was I wrong? And could people really stop using their cell phones and driving their cars? Could they? But 12 hours after the president's talk, the cities and towns became dark. Every plane, car, and factory in the United States stopped moving, and people stopped talking on their cell phones. And suddenly, all over the world, in Paris, in Beirut, in Iowa City, animals were leaving the cities. I was still in Washington and could not return to New York, but in our apartment, Chloe and Eli went and stood on the roof. Together, they looked at the empty streets.
"Listen, Mommy,"
Eli said.
"I don't hear anything, Eli,"
she replied.
"I know," he said. "Someone has turned New York off."
Chloe smiled, and then she put her arms around our son. The streets were still and quiet, and the world was not ending. There were more meetings in Washington. It was difficult to see without the lights, so we sat outside in the gardens. Outside the White House gates, everything was quiet. There were no animals. It was the strangest thing. You could hear the wind. People were coming in and out of their houses. They were not frightened. Washington was as quiet as a village. People were happy, but how were they going to feel after 2 weeks of no electricity? How were they going to feel after 2 weeks of no hot showers? Trucks could not bring food to the cities. How long until they got hungry? Later that day, Mike Leahy, the president's man, came to see me.
"Look at this," he said,
and he gave me a newspaper.
"Last Thursday, there were thousands of animal attacks in the United States. Yesterday, there were 3. Dogs are going back to their homes. You have done a good thing, and you're going to be very famous, Oz. So we want to do something nice for you. We are going to take you home to your wife and son."
"Home?" I said. "Is that possible?"
"Of course," he said.
"A
government car is coming for you."
I thought about Chloe and Eli. I thought about holding my son and wife in my arms. Then I stopped. What was I doing? What was I thinking? I could not go home. Not now. "No," I said. "I'd love to see my family, but it's too soon. There can't be any travel now. We can't have any electricity for 2 weeks. You know this."
"One car journey will be okay," he said.
"No," I said. "No one must travel now, or everyone will start traveling again."
"Okay, okay," said Leahy.
But slowly and quietly, people in the government did start traveling and using electricity and cell phones again. And then, of course, the people saw this, and then they did the same. Thule Airport, Kennack, Greenland. I am writing this in a room under the ground. It is November, and everything is dark and cold. My son is here with me. There are other scientists here, but some have killed themselves. But there are not many animals. It is too cold for them here. In the United States, violent groups of people walk around the streets. They fight the animals. And they fight other people. The soldiers cannot stop them. Often, in the many boring hours in this room, I go to sleep and dream about that circle of ants in Costa Rica. Thousands and thousands of ants going round and round in circles, each ant following the ant in front, until they all die together. Penguin Readers, Zoo, James Patterson and Michael Ledwidge, Level 3, retold by Anna Truin, illustrated by Kevin Hopgood, series editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Christopher Ragland. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2020.